Now we find, I believe we would all agree tonight, that we are in a battle. It's not and if we don't believe that tonight, I think we would do well to maybe come to a state of awakeness and understand that we are in a battle.
Amen.
I've never seen an attack against the family as it is in our day. I was reading some statistics here recently about the divorce rate in the United States. Over 50% of new marriages end in divorce. That's heartbreaking tonight. So we understand that we have an enemy. We understand tonight that the enemy is there to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want to help you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy your life. My mind is going as we look and ponder the text that we read tonight. I would like for us to read a portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter number 11. The Bible says, I do apologize. We will be in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to read a portion of a scene of a battle that takes place. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 21 verse 15, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down." By the way, it says to war again. That means that there is still a fight. That means that we find it again and again, even in this chapter. In verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines." Look at verse 19, "And there was again a battle in Gob." And look at verse 20, "And there was yet a battle in Gath." There is, dear friend, a battle that's alive and well. It would do us tonight good diligence to look to God in these days for help in the battle. So we find now here that, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David, king now," he's not the young shepherd boy, he's an elder man, he's at the ending of his life, he's old and gray hair, his skin is wrinkled and he's withered. And it says that David went down, but he has learned something to stay in the fight. Thank God for that. You remember there was a time that David did not go out to battle when it was the time for battle, the time for fighting. He stayed back in Jerusalem and found himself caught up in an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And so now then he understands the importance of staying in the battle. And so David, the Bible says, went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. I am amazed at this tonight. In the battle, he is weary. In the battle, he comes to the place of being faint. The Bible says in verse 16, "And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight." So now then we understand that this Ishbibenob is son of the giant whom David slew, Goliath, in the valley of Elah. I'll just pause and say this, dear heart. That if you've got power by God's help and grace to slay the giants in your life, you do well to go ahead and by God's enabling grace, slay all the giants, for they will rise up again and they will want to destroy you. And so now here David is faced with this battle. He's tired now, and Ishbi-Benob, the Bible says, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So he comes out against David, and he's got in his hand a new sword. Never been out of the hilt until this battle. It's maybe glistening in the sun, that I don't know. But nonetheless, it was a new sword. Amen. And it was at the point in battle that David could not defend himself against Ishbi-Benob, son of the giant of Gath, who was a Goliath, to the place where the giant thought that he had overcome David in battle. But now we understand, thank God, that Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him or helped him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware to him, saying, "Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." And so now then, David is rescued by Abishai in the battle, in this sword slinging, shields clanging, and the battle's close. He's tried to hide himself. King Ahab said, "Well, if I put on these garments, then the Syrians, they won't know that I'm in the battle fighting. They won't know that I'm here." And so he goes forth in the battle, and as they're out there in the midst of it, in the very scene, the very heat of battle, the Bible says there was a Syrian that peradventure drew a bow. That means he stood off somewhere and saw the commotion in the battle, saw swords clashing, saw shields going together, saw blood on the battlefield, and he peradventure knocked an arrow and drew a bow and shot and released that arrow. The king of Israel's trying to hide from God. But aren't you glad God's in control of the battlefield? And that arrow, in an amazing attempt to try to hide himself from God, in an amazing attempt try to disguise himself in amongst the other ones and fighting in the battle. I'm amazed. Maybe it was a happenstance. Maybe it was just a coincidence that he was bent over at a certain degree, that there left a 3-inch opening in his armor, that arrow just haphazardly shot in the air, found its lodging place in the side of King Ahab. And he said to the one driving his chariot, he said, "Take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." And he drove him out. And then later, the prophecy was fulfilled. When they washed out the chariot, the dogs come and licked up his blood in the streets. Amen. So I want to remind you, thank God, God knows exactly where you are. I want to remind you, sinner, friend tonight, you might be sitting in a crowd like this. You might be thinking you've put a good mask on. You've done the best you can to dress up the outside. There's a God in heaven that knows the inside, thank God. And the God knows where you're sitting tonight. God knows the sinful things you're involved in. God knows everything about you. He knows what you do in the computer room when nobody else is around. And I pray tonight the arrow of God has found lodging place in your heart and wounded you by the gospel message, dear friend. Oh, but there's hope, thank God, that Jesus died to save sinners. He arose on the third day to not only take away our sins, but to give us life, thank God. And that life is a life of victory. What we're saying now is this. Here is David. God's controlling the battle scene. But in the scripture tonight, for our edification, Ishbi-Benob came with a new sword. There were things that when I grew up in high school that I was faced with There were things that when you grew up in high school, as a child, as a young adult, that you were faced with, that is nothing more than a plastic knife compared to what this generation is facing.
Amen.
The enemy has come against us with a new sword. The enemy has come with a new edge, a new sword to try and dismantle the men of God. I've never seen a day out of that statistic, over 50% of new marriages end in divorce in the United States within 1 year. Oh, what's amazing to me is out of that 50%, according to a survey, those that took the survey, there were over 50% of Christian men that immediately, openly, they had a problem with pornography. There was 20% of women that were Christians that admitted they had a problem with pornography. I'm going to go ahead and say tonight that it's a new sword that's coming against us. And I want to remind the church tonight that it's not something that we just blush about and put under the rug. It's an issue in our day. It wasn't an issue 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, but it is an issue in our day. I got a little niece and she goes to a public school. I pray for her daily and say, God, protect her, God. God, keep her from all the vileness and all the sin that goes on up there in the town of Atalaya, there in Brazil, on the border of Peru, on the bank of the Javari River. I remember one night during these games of the three borders, they call it, as I was walking out in the street and passing out gospel tracts, and I saw this young lady. She was looked to be between 10 and 11 years old. There she sat on a corner, dressed provocatively. I saw a man walk up that was in his 50s, trying his best to convince her to come with him. And I walked over in the grace and power of God and said, "Hey, what are you doing over here?" I looked at that young lady. He quickly ran off, thank God. And I looked at that young, precious little girl, and I said, "Don't do this. Please don't do this." But somewhere in her mind, the enemy and his new sword had convinced her that this is the better way. I want to remind you, the only way. Jesus said it in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." Thank God. And it even says the same in the Portuguese language. Jesus, GCL, sou, a caminho, a verdade, a vida, ninguém vem ao Pai. Say no for me. Thank God He is the only way tonight. Even in the Marubu language. How it is that God is the ultima vai, the only way to life. Tonight, hear us now. There is a battle that is raging against your mind. There is a battle raging against your heart. There is a battle raging against your home. There is a battle that God, dear friend, that the enemy is wanting to kill, steal, and destroy you. I see preachers falling left and right. It breaks my heart.
Amen.
Makes me want to run more and dive more into the grace of God to know that there is nothing good about me, but yet Jesus and His grace.
Amen.
We can't fight this battle on our own. If you're thinking for 1 minute that you can fight the battle, you're on the losing side. The battle is fought in Christ. What we find in 1 Samuel chapter 11 is a tactic of the enemy. We find a strategy of the enemy.